Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Ryan Porth has been a champion all morning long, a trooper all morning long, navigating through some technical issues. We've got it done now, streaming once again on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Got a lot still to come on the show at the Rex Rant. Coming up at 7:45, the second edition of the Rex Rant. Looking forward to that. Corey Curtis from News 2 at 8 o'clock joining the show. Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Wayne from Spring Hill on the text line asked, Robbie, did you get any bad looks when you cheered for a Nashville SC goal on Saturday at Cincinnati? Yes, I did. When Randall Leal scored that goal, I stood up and was like, oh, my goodness. And people were not very happy with me. That's okay.
Really?
They got over it.
Did anybody say anything?
They didn't say anything. It's just looks.
Just give you a little nasty look.
That's okay. All it was. Yeah. They weren't going to say anything. Yeah, no, how can you say something after that goal?
Right.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, everybody should be like, whoa.
Just stand and applaud. That's all you need to do at that point.
Plus, no one's going to mess with you.
No. This burly man with a beard, not going to happen.
I saw you showed me an illustration of your face. Which is quite special.
I will
say, you look tough, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get that dome out.
Yeah.
That beard going.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with that.
No. Don't want to walk down a dark alley with this guy here.
A lot of near fights this weekend.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Yeah. Let's all get in fights over sports.
Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later coming up here in the show. Joe, the Tennessee Titans. Look, we spent a lot of time talking about the draft coming up. Now less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, which is hard to believe. But let's revisit the draft from last year. We all know about the first-round pick and Isaiah Wilson and what a disaster that was for the Titans. But I still think a lot of questions left to be answered from the 2020 draft class as a whole. And it's interesting to think about who you feel the best about moving forward from that draft. Obviously, you have Christian Fulton still in the mix. You would assume he is going to have a gigantic role this year for the Tennessee Titans. Darrington Evans, although he was hurt for a lot of last year, he came on towards the end. I think you saw some flashes that you feel good about for the Titans as you move forward here. So I asked you, based on the very, very, very limited sample size that we've seen at this point, if you're a Titans fan, who do you feel the best moving forward about from this 2020 draft class? Is it Christian Fulton? Is it Darrington Evans? Is it somebody else in the 2020 draft class? How would you go about answering that, Joe Rexrode?
First of all, I know you're going to be shocked by this. I also have about 2,600 words on the Titans up this morning.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's a busy weekend for you.
I mean, Porth's not bringing my little promotional disco song up, but it's not, it doesn't quite warrant that. But, you know, that's a good question on this year's draft class. Who do you feel best about? I mean, I think you got to feel best about, I have to go somewhat with what the Titans are doing and what they've done. Says two things to me. One, that they feel good about the crop of corners coming out.
Yep.
But two, that they feel good about Christian Fulton. So I would have to go there. Now, I did like what we saw late in the season from Evans. His injury was more serious. I think it was a hammy, right?
Yeah.
Hammy all year. He looked kind of explosive late. So I really think that there's potential there for him to, give this offense something different, something it didn't have. But I would have to go with Fulton. You know, I don't think Fulton looked bad last year. I mean, certainly there were, you know, he got beat at times. I don't think there was a great evaluation of him, but I didn't come away from last year saying, ooh, you missed there.
Right.
It just really that, okay, he's got to step up now. There's no doubt about that. I don't think they do the stuff they did if they don't think he can do it.
I don't think so either. I mean, a lot of the story with him is just health and staying on the field. And it's also going to be interesting, Joe, I think, to really try to figure out where he fits in best. I mean, he played in six games last year. So it's not like there's a ton of sample size here with Christian Fulton. I think back to training camp, and he was playing in the slot. I mean, you had Dory on the outside, obviously, and he was hurt. You had Jonathan Joseph stepping in on the outside. You had Malcolm Butler on the outside the whole year. Now Butler's gone. Adoree's gone. Desmond King is gone. Where are you going to put Christian Fulton as they move forward here? That's going to be interesting to me. Like, I guess some of that would depend on who you draft in the first round or second round, whenever you draft a corner this year as well. But exactly where do they feel like Christian Fulton fits in the best moving forward? They spent a lot of time working with him at slot. Is he going to continue to be in the slot? Do you put him back on the outside like he played in college at LSU? That to me is an interesting question moving into this year.
Yeah, and it's sort of like receiver. Like, are the Titans going to draft like the bigger outside receiver, or are they going to go for one of these exciting slot players? We had TD on Friday, and TD, you know, Mel Kiper has switched it to this, and TD told us, I mean, he feels pretty strong that there's strong interest in Elijah Moore from the Titans. Now, a lot of other players the Titans have interviewed, talked to, shown interest in, said things to their agent, all that stuff. I mean, there's always a lot of players that teams, you know, you don't know who you're going to be able to draft. So that level of interest is demonstrated in a lot of guys you don't end up drafting, maybe because you were never going to, but maybe because you just didn't get a chance to. But it does seem like Elijah Moore, there's some smoke around that interest. And so with corner, it's the same kind of thing, I guess. I mean, there are some straight-up slot corners that they could get, and really a little bit later, and then there's more of the traditional outside guys like a Newsom, you know, who could be there for them. And so who they draft may shed some light on what they think about Fulton. I could see it either way with him.
I could too. I just look back at the tape at LSU. I mean, he played really well on the outside. And, you know, the thing we talked about him all last year, though, was he can run. So that's a good matchup in the slot too. So I'm interested to see how they go about handling that. Darrington Evans, to me, is when you think about, you know, the need they have at tight end this year with Jonnu Smith leaving, you've got some questions at wide receiver about what you're going to do there. I think an aspect of this offense, if I've Todd Downing, that I don't think is getting enough attention this offseason is exactly what are you going to do with Darrington Evans? Like, what sort of role is he going to play? I think we saw some flashes towards the end of last season that kind of get you excited if you're a Titans fan. There was some shiftiness in his game. I know he got to play a lot at the end. I think it was the Lions game where he got to play a lot at the end of, because, of course, he did. It was the Lions. But, yeah. I mean, he got some carries in the game, a couple of catches. I mean, had a touchdown, receiving touchdown last year. Like, I think there are some elements to him that you think, okay, if you can stay healthy, like, we know exactly why the Titans drafted you where they did. That brings a different element to this offense that they've not had at this point. I would assume, based both on the 17-game schedule and the workload that Derrick Henry just had this past year, if he can stay healthy, you're going to see a significant uptick in snaps from Darrington Evans per game. I mean, that would be the way that I would think the Titans go about handling that. What sort of element can he bring to the offense, especially receiving the ball out of the backfield, in the slot? And if he becomes proficient in that area and you can trust him, I'm interested to see how Todd Downing kind of adapts the playbook and adapts the offense to that skill set on the field. Now, you've also got to be able to run the ball, because it can't just be hey, Darrington Evans is on the field, so they're going to pass. So that's kind of the balance there with him as well.
Listen, if you make some plays against that Lions Silver Rush defense, I don't think anyone could question what you're about to become. But in all seriousness, no, you're right. I mean, it's not just the receiving aspect of it. I mean, can he give you some series as a running back and a real change of pace as a runner? You know, running these outside zone plays, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we just haven't seen a lot of that. I think there's no doubt that he gets in space and he's exciting. You know, but is he a guy who can actually be – because you've got to have a guy who can run the ball some and give Derrick Henry a little bit more rest than he's been getting. I just really think you got to think about load management more with Derrick Henry moving forward. So – I think Darrington Evans is going to get all kinds of opportunities to be that guy.
Jay on Periscope asks, how is the cornerback drafted class coming up here in this draft? And it's interesting. Field Yates put this out yesterday on Twitter. It says, if your team needs a wide receiver or a cornerback, the 2021 NFL draft is a good time to be looking for one. And he attached kind of a graphic here from Scouts, Inc. And in the top 100 by position, according to Scouts, Inc., 17 of them are wide receivers, 16 of them are cornerbacks. So you think about two of the top needs for the Titans. They've got 17 wide receivers in the top 100 and 16 corners. It's pretty good. I think you feel good about that if you're the Titans in terms of the depth of this draft at both cornerback and at wide receiver.
Right. So you could certainly make the case. You don't have to go right there. You know, you could you can go somewhere else that maybe isn't as deep and then still do quite well and maybe get starter quality players at those positions a little bit later. Now, all that said, we don't know the big board. And if the big board says Elijah Moore is number one, then take him.
Yeah.
You know, Rashad Bateman is number one. Take him. But certainly you can strategize if you're the Titans, and if there's not a big difference between a lot of these guys that are going to be like third rounders, well, there's a great opportunity to trade back. You know, if you can pull it off, if anybody wants to move to 22 for whatever reason, that's the thing. You have to have someone who wants to get into 22 for a particular player. I will say this, you know, on the cornerback class, for one thing, I would advise anybody to read Dane Brugler's monstrosity.
Yes.
But I've thought more and more about his mock, which is Christian Barmore. And I like the more I think about it, the more I love that idea. Even though you have a surplus now up front, and if you can disrupt like that, like he and Autry and Simmons might be able to do this year, everyone else is better.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Tennessee Titans and looking ahead to the draft. How important is this draft for John Robinson to hit on? And if he doesn't, how much could this set the Titans back as they move forward here? We'll discuss that coming up. Also, an over-under of win totals has been thrown out there for the Titans as well. Do we buy it? We'll discuss all of it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Staley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com,
615-737-1025,
615-737-1025. Oh, Ryan Porth.
What'd I miss?
I don't have enough arms back here.
We just hit a button.
I hit a button and it ended up being the same bump music as the show theme.
Yeah,
so
that wasn't the bump music we were aiming for, but it's all right. It worked out.
It's a good jam.
Yeah, it was a good jam.
I mean, it's better than a lot of choices Porth makes. So
wow, jeez.
I mean, Elijah comes in Friday. He's playing me some Tribe Called Quest, some Steely Dan, you know? The Beck beer can.
Well, don't worry.
The Beck version of beer can.
I mean, this week you've got some Luke Combs to look forward to. We're going to toss in a few country favorites this week just for you.
Yeah, and hopefully some Blink-182.
Yeah, we can get that done as well. Somebody sent me a TikTok this weekend of somebody doing a dance in a Blink-182 shirt. I immediately thought of you.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they doing a dance to a terrible Blink-182 song?
No, it was
song?
A different song, but they had a Blink-182 shirt on. So I'll have to show that to you later.
Fitting that they were dancing to a different band.
Exactly. So right now, talking Tennessee Titans, we've talked about the 2020 draft class. And look, right now, it doesn't look pretty. Your first-round pick is gone, and it's not even been a calendar year since the draft. And you're moving ahead with still a need at right tackle somewhere along the line. And you thought maybe you had that figured out for the next 5, 6, 7 years with Isaiah Wilson when you drafted him. And obviously, we know how that turned out, and that is not going to happen for the Tennessee Titans. Still, I think a lot of questions to be answered with Christian Fulton and with Darrington Evans as well. Obviously, this draft coming up is huge for the Titans when you factor in the salary cap, the subtractions that you've made this offseason because of money, and the decisions that you've had to make with Corey Davis and Dory Jackson and Malcolm Butler. I don't think there's really any way to slice it. I mean, at cornerback, the Titans right now are very weak, and there are a lot of questions that you've got to answer, and the draft's going to be a big part of that. Same thing at wide receiver as well. Same thing at tight end as you move forward here. My question for you is, like, what percentage rate does John Robinson need to hit on this year in the draft? And if you have a draft, then maybe it's not as disastrous as last year's appears to be right now, but it's not great and can't come in and contribute right away. How far back does that set this team? How far back does that set this franchise in the grand scheme of things? When you're in a window to win right now with Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry.
Well, you know, again, we just talked about two guys from last year's draft class who didn't contribute much to 2020 who could be big in 2021. So you could have some guys from this draft class who in 2022 take a step.
Yep.
You know, that happens, but I just don't think you can afford that to be across the board. You have to have – I mean, I think you have to have a starter at corner. I think you – probably have to have, if not a starter, then at least a heavy usage receiver.
Yep.
And I mean, you have to have, to me, you have to have an edge who's your three, but like is the three. Like you're ready to play and you are the third guy. I mean, right now it's Bud Dupree and Harold Landry and some of the same guys, you know, who were in the mix last year, but you've got to improve on that. And then we haven't even gotten to tight end.
I know. Which maybe the most interesting one out of all of them.
I mean, you could be drafting your starter. Now, I don't think right away, probably, but maybe. I mean, maybe, you know, that's another position. I mean, just like all these, maybe there's someone you value. I mean, the conventional wisdom on tight end is one guy up here and then you got a gap, you know, and then maybe like a Pat Freiermuth next. But, I mean, I do like the idea of Hunter Long from Boston College, but maybe there's someone the Titans really love and they go higher for that person. And that person becomes tight end one pretty quickly. That could happen. You got to have at least someone who's contributing, right? So there's four spots where you have to have rookies come in and help your team, and then we'll see on offensive tackle. And hey, some people are talking about the Titans taking Tevin Jenkins in the first round.
I know.
That would be, I'm sure that would be quite an interesting reaction around here if you go offensive tackle first round again.
Be very popular.
But I'll say again, if your big board says it, you know, I mean, you can justify it. Now, I think that may be one of those situations where it's like, okay, but how is the big? Is there a gap in the big board, or does need have to be taken into account? Because there are some, you know, that's a pretty deep position too, offensive tackle. But at some point, I would expect to see an offensive lineman. And the only question really for this offensive line, as long as everybody's healthy, is right tackle. You know, do you feel good about Lamb/Sombrilo at right tackle, or do you feel like you need to have a rookie come in and eventually be the starter there? You may have five spots that rookies start.
Yeah.
Well, no, I would say you could have as many as four.
Significant playing time.
Yeah. I mean, the starters at edge are locked in. But everywhere else, I mean, you could make the case that four rookies could eventually start for this team. No way, I think, on week one, but eventually this season.
I think so, too. And it's interesting to me, like, we've talked about the needs that the Titans have. But also, like I brought up the graphic that Field Yates mentioned yesterday on Twitter about how deep this draft is at wide receiver and at cornerback. And it's interesting, like, and I didn't even talk about the other two positions that were on that board, but it's offensive tackle and defensive end as well. They've got 11 in the top 100 at offensive tackle, 9 at defensive end. So all of these are needs that the Titans have and areas that they could go. I just wonder if you're John Robinson looking at this and you've got him ranked close to the same in terms of the number of prospects in the top 100 at those positions. Like, if John Robinson and the Titans have those ranked similarly, I still think there's going to be a lot of consideration given to trading back and getting more picks in this draft. I mean, if the draft is that important and you're going to have people coming in and hitting on these draft picks and you're going to need some good players coming in, like, why not get more picks? Unless you're just in love with Elijah Moore and he's there at 22 and you feel like if you wait any longer, like, he'll be gone, then you have to stick at 22 and make that pick if you're the Titans. But the more I look at this, the more that I see these mock drafts coming out and the depth at some of these positions that the Titans could be drafting at, the more I think it's likely that they do trade out of 22 and try to get some more picks.
Right, if they have a trade partner who wants to get in there to get somebody. Like Elijah Moore, to me, they could love him. They could take him at 22, but I bet you they could get him at 30.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be now Christian Barmore? Maybe not. If they love him and he's there, they might be like, oh, God, you got to do it. Or, I don't know, Azeez Ojulari.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've talked about him a ton as an edge option. It was talked about a lot more before they signed Dupree, but again, it's just like any of those guys could be the guy who convinces them to stick. And I'm with you that if you could get a fifth in the top 100, you could do very well for yourself. And it's clear that John Robinson's moves to here have been with the depth at those positions in mind, right? I mean,
yeah,
he has set himself up to take advantage of the best parts of this draft.
So, Joe, an interesting over-under has been set for the Tennessee Titans next year. Now, obviously, it's early. The draft has not even taken place yet, but William Hill has set an over-under win total for the Titans at 9.5. So you got to remember, a 17th game next year as well. So you're adding an extra game, the over-under at 9.5 for the Titans on William Hill. What do you think of that? Is 9.5 fair in your mind, coming off of an 11-5 year, a division winner, and adding to your pass rush so far this offseason?
Who's William Hill?
It's a sports book.
Oh, there's so many books.
Yeah.
That's 9.5. That's probably, again, you got to remember, 9.5 in the 17.
Yeah, it's different.
So it's 9-8 or it's 10-7. You know, if you go over under on this half either way, that's probably about right. Now, could the Titans, if the Titans have what's perceived as a great draft, does that move? How much do these over unders move after the draft?
That's an interesting question. I don't know.
You know, like right now,
what if they go from like 9.5 to 8 after the draft? That doesn't feel good for the Titans.
You wouldn't like that. Just take all offensive tackles. Yes. You know, like for example, the Jaguars. I don't know what it is, but I'll just guess it's like 3.5, right? But the problem is everybody's already assuming Trevor Lawrence. But I was going to say, so then you add Trevor Lawrence, does it become 5.5?
Well, I think, if I remember correctly, I think it was 6 for the Jags. I think that was it.
Yeah, Lions and Texans were 5.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Jacksonville was 6.
And again, so people love Urban Meyer coming in there, baby, with Trevor Lawrence.
But that's also got to be, because everybody knows they're taking Trevor Lawrence,
yes.
Right? Okay, so I'm trying to think of another team that could, like, you know, let's take, I guess you kind of expect the Jets to do what they're going to do. So that over-under is probably based on Zach Wilson. Well,
what about, let's say, like the Patriots? They move up and get a quarterback. Whether it's Trey Lance or whoever, they come up and get a quarterback. How much does your over-under total change going from Cam Newton to a rookie quarterback? Maybe along the lines. Does the rookie quarterback play under Bill Belichick? Or do you go with Cam Newton no matter what? Like, it's interesting.
I'd probably give him a game bump if they got a Lance or a Fields instead of Cam.
If it's the Cam Newton we saw last year,
I'd probably give him about a game or so. But, I guess, you know, then you go later in the first round for teams that have been winning. I mean, I guess what? If somebody get like Jamar Chase or somebody gets Pitts?
Yeah.
You immediately look a lot better, right?
Like, absolutely.
Like Miami gets Pitts. Do they get a game bump?
I would hope so. Guy's pretty good. I mean, I think certainly could be a possibility on the table. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry, more videos coming out over the weekend of him working out and working on a specific area of his game that has not seen a lot of action. We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Right now talking Tennessee Titans, the second edition of the Rex Rant coming up in the next segment at 7:45. So it was a beauty of a first edition of the Rex Rant last week. Looking forward to the second edition coming up at 7:45. Joe, another video coming out over the weekend of Derrick Henry and his workout sessions. Now, we talked about the last one that came out where he was doing some variation of a push-up on some bands with a chain around his neck, balancing his feet on an exercise ball, and it was very impressive looking. It also looked very uncomfortable and very dangerous from my perspective. Now, Derrick Henry, obviously much more well-equipped to handle workouts like that than you or I would be. But another video coming out over the weekend of Derrick Henry actually on the football field, and he's running routes out of the backfield. He was running some fade routes, some option routes over the middle, some out routes along the sideline, and catching the ball pretty well. We've talked about this a lot with Derrick Henry and adding to his game with being a receiver out of the backfield and being able to catch the ball and be utilized in the passing game. It's not really happened up until this point in his career. Is it something now with Derrick Henry in the passing game that you even care about anymore if you're the Titans fan? Like, as good as he's been on the ground and as dominant of a weapon as he is, like, do Titans fans even care anymore that he's not utilized all that much in the passing game?
Well, I mean, obviously he can be great without it, but, hey, good for him for working on it. And I think there's room for a little bit of that in this offense. I mean – it's just like you said with Darrington Emmons. You want him on the field to not be a complete tell. You know, you want Anthony Firkser on the field to not be a complete tell. You got to use guys in different situations. Derrick Henry, here and there with something other than just a screen, hey, why not? I mean, anything that can get him the ball with any kind of space is enticing. Now, do I think there's going to be a huge uptick in that this year? Probably not. But, I mean, good for Derrick Henry for working on that stuff. I watched a video, and I did think back to, like, his rookie year, like even in training camp. Guy's come a long way in terms of, you know, just even just, like you said, some of those option routes and the shiftiness. I thought he looked pretty good out there. Looked pretty smooth catching the ball. I mean, the famous quote, and again, I believe this is from a Glennon story, you know, was like his high school coach. Gosh, I think Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
In high school.
Yes.
To this now. I mean, working on your craft, man, it's how great players stay great and how good players become great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that it's been a heavy point of emphasis on him. And if you get him to a point where he can run some of these routes out of the backfield, I mean, I think you feel good about it. Like me personally, I don't care all that much. Like, he has been pretty good without this and a dominant force in the NFL. But if you can add that to your game, that's great. I will say, like, last year, the screen pass, I mean, how many times did the Titans try a screen to Derrick Henry last year? And it worked, like, maybe once, maybe twice. Like, I think – and it wasn't even really a screen pass in the Texans game in overtime, but it was just kind of a little dump off a yard down the field, and Derrick Henry runs for like 40 and sets up the game-winning touchdown later. But other than that, like, teams did their scouting report on the Titans last year, and like every time Derrick Henry went out for a screen, they're like, nope, we are shutting this down right now. If you could add more routes to your repertoire that way, if you're Derrick Henry, that would be great. I don't think it's the biggest priority for the Titans, and also, I mean, Darrington Evans is going to factor into that as well. But certainly, based on this video, it seems like that's going to be a heavy point of emphasis for him this offseason, and that's never a bad thing.
Yeah. Add dimensions. You've lost Corey Davis. You've lost Jonnu Smith. You know, you bring in Evans, use him, and add things to the offense. Yeah, that throwback to Henry that was killing people in 19, starting with the opener at Cleveland. Yeah, last year, that was scouted. That was well scouted. Yeah. You know, I think they ran a couple things trying to give that look, you know, and then play action out of it and stuff like that. But, yeah, and you got to come up with some different ways to get him the ball. So, we know the main way he's going to get it, and that's going to be the bread and butter. But I say do as many different kinds of things as you can do. You're going to have to have some different looks this year to come close to that production level, 30 points a game, almost 31 a game.
Yeah, and I mean, your offense obviously is going to look different that way as well, but I do wonder about just the workload aspect of this, because he's a guy that, look, I mean, it seems like he gets better as the season goes along, and it seems like he gets better as games go along, and honestly, to me, like, I'm starting to just wonder if the guy's just built different, and your conventional wisdom about the way that you treat running backs, maybe it just doesn't apply to him. Like, there are guys that have been like that, like Adrian Peterson in his prime. You just keep giving the guy the ball. I mean, he's still going right now. So there are guys that are just built different, and maybe Derrick Henry is one of those guys. But I do wonder, like, if you're the Titans, rather than worrying about him, you know, running option routes all over the place, maybe take him off the field, give Darrington Evans some of these balls on the option routes and save him up. Now that you've got an extra game to factor in there as well, like, I do wonder how much of a point of emphasis that will be, because it's got to be a difficult balance if you're Todd Downing and the offense of – all right, we know how important Derrick Henry is and how much attention he's going to command, and that can help you in the passing game too. Like, it doesn't just have to be him running routes. Play action to Derrick Henry, that sucks up a lot of attention from the defense, and that can help you get open over the middle. So that's got to be tempting if you're Todd Downing in the Titans offense to just leave him in there as much as possible. You've got to fight against that at times, though, if you're a coaching staff, for the protection of the player and for his value as you keep moving ahead here with him in your backfield, not only this year, but hopefully for the next couple of years after this as well.
Yeah, there's times when, you know, especially if they're behind later in a game and Derrick Henry will be standing on the sideline, it's like, you know, might be good to just have him out there.
Yeah.
He just draws attention. Still, though, I mean, I expect Evans to be the guy on third down. And, of course, a big part of that we haven't talked about with Evans is pass protection. How is he in that area? He's got to be good. I mean, that's a big, big part of it. You know, you're doing one of two things. You're protecting, you're going out. Sometimes you protect and make yourself available, but that's a big thing. But, you know, you can also do some stuff with Derrick Henry in the passing game on first and second down.
Yep.
You know, why not? I mean, mix it up, change it up. But, yes, overall, look, I agree that he right now has a look of just a different kind of guy, and maybe Frank Gore, you know, another guy who just is ageless and has taken – so much punishment over so many years and still going. It's a rarity. He looks like that guy right now, but it's still pretty early, and I just wouldn't mess around with it. You got three more years of Derrick Henry on this deal. I can't imagine that you could get out of it after this year. It wouldn't be too painful, but I can't imagine the Titans will want to.
No.
So in those 3 years, I think you think a little bit in terms of, of course, trying to win every Sunday, but you think a little bit in terms of, okay, how can you maximize those 3 years?
It's going to be interesting. Like, if you're a defense and, like, the first snap this year, Derrick Henry comes out and runs, like, a 12-yard out route and catches the ball on the sideline, how terrified are you at that point? Like, his transformation to human cyborg at that point becomes complete. Like, there's nothing you can do anymore.
I'd like to see, like a Derrick Henry wheel route, you know, like a play action and just, you know,
go 45 yards down the field.
You don't think he could, you know, high point some unsuspecting safety? I mean, I think he probably could. And, hey, how about some more Derrick Henry jump passes?
Hey.
We haven't seen that since Baltimore, have we?
No. I thought we might see it in the overtime game against Houston, but it was just a regular old Wildcat formation run up the middle. It was good.
Yeah, he didn't throw it all last year, right?
I don't think so. I don't think he threw it one time.
See?
So he's one for one.
Todd Downing, you got a lot of options, buddy.
Could just do the jump pass to Aaron Brewer, who showed last year. Maybe don't need to be throwing the ball to him all that much.
And they've lost one of their best pass catchers, too.
They have. Dennis Kelly's not there anymore.
That's right.
That's going to be tough to replace in the passing game. When we come back, it is time for the second edition of the Rex Rant. If you heard it last week, Joe Rex Rhodes assault against professional wrestling and the fan bases that come with it. We've got another Rex Rant coming up for you next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Oh, yes! It is time for the Rex Rant here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road being welcomed back in. A little Kokomo action here. Joe Rex Road, your favorite song, your reaction.
Oh, my gosh. Now you really got me mad, Porth.
Just fired up.
Way too much support for Kokomo last week.
It's a
good
song.
My second online poll. Way too much support for that. You know, if you could mash up, again, Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy when there, you'd really, like, I might not even be able to talk during this segment.
It's a good song, man. I love it.
Oh, God.
Joe Rex Rant, the second edition of the Rex Rant. Last week, a tirade against professional wrestling and the people who act like it is a legitimate sport. And that includes some of our good sports writer friends here. You got Vengan all upset last week. He was flustered in his call-in last Wednesday. Now the second edition of the Rex Rant. Which way are you going today?
Well, listen, I could spend an entire show on this. I really could. And I promise you this was going to be my thing before the events of yesterday that I'll tell you about on the air. But the reason that I thought to do this now is because I don't know if you saw this story, but you had a dad shoot an AAU coach in Ohio, Sandusky, Ohio. And I think the coach is okay, but it was over his kid's playing time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just crazy.
Just absolutely insane. And it brings back something that has been, as a parent, has been a real nauseating part of being a parent, which is some parents at sporting events. I don't know what has happened in this world, you know?
It's brutal.
Like, it's so different from when I was a kid. And I know it's like good old days and, oh, everything was just so hunky-dory. But I swear, I've thought about this in terms of my parents. And I'm going to thank my mom for this week. And I wish I could thank my dad. But they took me to practices. They picked me up. They said, be a good teammate. There were times I should be the starter, or, oh, I shouldn't be splitting time at quarterback, or, oh, why did I get benched or yelled at or whatever? Never, ever did they ever think to say anything to a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, never once. It's like, good luck. Work hard, and we'll come to your games when we can come. And, well, for whatever reason, and maybe it's like because, you know, everyone needs a scholarship because I don't know what it is, but it has become unbearable with some parents. So yesterday, now look, as a parent of kids, I also have struggled at times to get them to. I mean, to me, it's like the message is play hard, listen to your coaches, be respectful of your coaches, of the other coaches, of the officials. Don't talk to the officials. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't bicker with your teammates. And look, all these things, they're hard to impress upon your kids sometimes.
Sure.
So I have a kid who is a very emotional player who sometimes does not do all those things.
Yes.
Okay? So yesterday we had a flag football game.
I was very
game.
Similar.
Yeah, look, I mean, hey, I was a bit of a trash talker, especially on the basketball court. I mean, I get it, but, like, you still got to respect adults especially. So yesterday we had a flag football game. Let's make this long story as short as possible. Our team won. Brennan celebrated probably a little too much with like a let's go, and he's running down the field. A parent who was sort of like an assistant to the other team bumped him, okay? Like put his chest out and bumped him. So
an adult.
Right in front of me, an adult. Right in front of my wife, who immediately started yelling. My kid starts yelling at him, don't touch me. And my first instinct was, you don't talk to him. And I yelled at Brennan, okay? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm still like right now, I'm a little shaken by, I mean, should I have just punched the guy?
Look, man, that is something that I would have struggled with. That probably would
have
been the end.
But you can't do it.
I mean, you can't.
You can't.
You can't now. But that would have been tough, man. And you don't touch my kid.
Well, and you sit there and you like I just talked about this. There's news stories all the time. I mean, how often do we see a video of like parents brawling at something? It's just so stupid.
Right.
So I made a comment like, man, if you have to bump a 13-year-old, what is your problem?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make this as short as possible on this story because it's to me, it's like you just got to put it to bed. The commissioner of the league is a friend of mine who I've coached basketball with. Talked to him. He came to me, said it wasn't intentional. We shook hands. Fine. I mean, look, the people who saw it don't believe that. But you know what? People also lose their emotion a little bit. It's not like he hurt him. So you put it away. But this leads into this rant that I wanted to make about parents. Like, your kid is not as good as you think your kid is.
No.
Your kid is not that good. And if your kid is that good, he or she is going to make it happen on their own. You bitching at coaches or refs is not going to help at all. In fact, it might hurt your kid. So shut up. And if you're this upset about, oh, little Johnny, little Janie doesn't play, then coach.
That's the thing.
Give your time to coach.
That's always my thing. And this comes back to, and I've done a little bit of coaching, and I don't have a kid yet. So this is, I'm very interested to see how this goes as it moves forward here in my life. But that's always my thing. Like, My dad did a lot of coaching growing up. My friends' parents, we all played I played with the same kids in baseball for like 12 years. So like we all knew each other. But anytime we would go play a different sport, like basketball or football or something like that, there would always be, you know, a parent or two whining about playing time and all this other stuff. And I get it. Like, do I think there are situations where there are politics in sports and if you don't know the right people that – maybe your kid doesn't get the same opportunity sometimes. Yes. Like that absolutely has happened, and that's wrong. That's not the way it should be. But also, like, the kids, coaches, generally speaking, aren't just like sitting down your kids if they can play and they can help the team. Like, generally speaking, they'll put people out there that can help them win. And if you don't like the way that your kid's being handled or the way that they're getting playing time, go coach. That's my thing. Like, these coaches are out there in youth sports, they're doing this for free. This is in their free time. They have a job just like everybody else. They're working with their kids. Sometimes, I mean, my brother right now is coaching AAU basketball. He doesn't have a kid on the team, but he loves basketball. He wants to coach. He's doing it out of his own free time, money coming out of his pocket. If you want a say in your kid's playing time, go coach. But as soon as you start to have that conversation with some of these parents, it's totally out there. Well, I don't have time to do that.
Sure.
Well, then shut up. Just let the kid play, or don't. Move on, do something else.
Well, and to a lesser extent, you know, like officiating too. I mean, you know, they're getting $20 or whatever to do these things. I mean, these people are also really giving their time. And, yeah, there's bad calls, you know, and I get that. But that gets out of hand sometimes too. You know, just the screaming at the refs. Again, I mean, I'm talking here. This story from yesterday, this is rec flag football, okay?
Yeah.
In my town. So, first of all, like, these are a lot of kids who are friends, and they're going to, if they continue, I mean, I know Brennan, he's going to be working out to play freshman football all summer with a lot of these kids. They're going to be on the same team. It's to go out there to have some fun, to work on your skills. And, like, it's seriously being treated by some people like it's absolute life or death.
And Super Bowl.
And, look, it's hard for kids not to be in that mindset. Yeah. And we've all been there. We've been 12, 13, where some game means the, you know, some rec, you know, little league game or whatever means everything. And it's sometimes especially against your friends because you know the trash talk will be at school the next day. But how do parents get there?
That's it. Like, I understand being fired up for your kids and wanting them to do well. And look, I'm competitive. Like when I'm watching, you know, my little brother play a sport growing up, I would get into it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've never like looked at a ref and been like, dude, that was an awful call. What are you doing? But like some of these parents and spectators at children's baseball games or children's basketball games, it's just amazing. Like people that like you deal with in everyday life that are good people and like respectable stand-up adults just lose their mind in like their kid's basketball game. It's unbelievable to me that you allow yourself to get to that point.
I mean, look, it's hard, and you're right. Sometimes you do feel like, you know, your kid isn't getting a fair shake or whatever like that. And, again, I have not done a good enough job. I will say since I've been calling out Brennan in this segment, I think he's been very good for the most part with his coaches, and I appreciate that. You know, sometimes kids, it's like, okay, they're good with the teachers and coaches. They bring all the nastiness home. Well, you'll take that. Obviously, like, I haven't done a good enough job, but, man, one thing that I have done and I will do until we get through my daughter's high school and everything, like I will never go to a coach and say, hey, you need to play blah, blah, blah a little more. I mean, just make that your – just sit back, support your kids, and leave the people who are actually giving their time alone. I mean, that right there makes U Sports a better place. It still doesn't change the emotion of adults at these games. Sure. I don't even know. I mean, it's just things have gone crazy.
Sure. And, I mean, it's one of those things, too. Like, if you're going to the coach, like, complaining about your child's playing time, like, does that ever work? Does any coach be like, oh, you know what? Now they're going to play. I'll be playing all the time. Like, I've never seen that be like, yeah, but you know what? You're right. I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to play them every snap.
Unless you like threaten violence, I guess.
So.
You know, but right. I mean, that, to me, all that's going to do is hurt your kid. And that's not fair. You know, the kids should be able to decide this for themselves. And like you said, coaches understand who's on their team. And yeah, sometimes there's politics and other, but my gosh, I mean, the percentage of that actually being real versus how much people talk about it, it's not, it's a fraction. It's a tiny, to me, percentage. I mean, look, I mean, covering college sports, I've spent a lot of time on the phone with dads of quarterbacks.
Sure.
And that's an interesting group. That can be an interesting group, you know, now some wide range in there. But even that, you're talking about kids who are at a high level, very rare. And I think just a lot of parents think their kids can get there. Look, I'm not saying put any ceiling on your kids, but you've got to understand.
There's got to be a dose of realism in here, too.
Yeah.
Not every child is Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. So, anyway.
I like
that. That was the rant. I wish it could change and get better. I think all you can do is just try to do your part as a parent. And don't bump kids.
No. Please try to avoid that as we move forward. I mean, develop a sense of, you know, adulthood, respectability. At some point, that would be great. along the line. That is today's edition of the Rex Rant. Looking forward to it next week. You can hear the Rex Rant every Monday at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get into the Titans and the Predators with him. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.